Good morning, Fellowship Church. I got this big table up here like Scott. I requested it. I was like, I want some of that big table action. Up here I can just lay things out. And I'm gonna go two tables next time I preach. I don't know. I feel like there's been a couple sermons already preached this morning from Todd up here this morning talking about money and Brandon preaching. And it's one thing I love, or Brandon praying. I'm sorry, I said I'm preaching, but praying. But it's one thing I love about this church. Like, we just, when people talk, the word of God just comes out. And that's one of the things that is a core foundation for us at Fellowship is the word of God. And it's cool to see, like, even in our announcements, like, you get little mini sermons here and there, and they come and go. This morning, sorry, I'm Pastor Lee. I didn't introduce myself. Forgive me for that. If you don't know me, I've been here at Fellowship for about 15, 16 years, and I've been one of the pastors here for about a year. And it is a pleasure to bring God's word to you this morning. So usually on weeks where we have a more mature theme, we send out in our newsletter a little bit of a prep and let everybody know what to expect, some of the things that may be said in the service that our kids aren't quite ready to hear yet. Or that a parent may want to prep them before Sunday. And I feel like we dropped the ball this week. We probably should have did that. Because today's message is on money. So not so much for our kids as much as for the adults to be prepared and be like, oh boy, here we go. Hey, you want to go to the lake this Sunday? Or money. This is a topic that has made church members sweat probably the most since Pentecost. Come on, Pastor. You're like, tell me about my sin. Tell me not to cuss and drink. Don't talk about my money. Well, a lot of y'all who know me know that I'm probably not the pastor that's best to tell you not to cuss and drink, but I will tell you how to handle your money. Now, before any of you visitors get up and sneak out the back, because the one Sunday you tried and visited Fellowship was the Sunday they talked about money, please stay. Because we don't talk about it often here. While money is the subject this morning, very little of my time is going to be spent in telling you to give and make you feel guilty for not giving more. I will leave that to the Holy Spirit. He's much better at it than I am anyway. So a disclaimer real quick. I am not up here to give money advice. I'm not up here to give you investment advice, to tell you how to handle your 401k or your Roth IRA. I am no Dave Ramsey, Warren Buffett, or Robert Kiyosaki. I'm here to tell you what God's word says, mainly from Solomon and from Jesus, and some Paul sprinkled in as well. You may ask, who are you to be the one talking about money? And I will quickly tell you, nobody. I just happen to be somebody that's been earning it, saving it, spending it for about 30 years, like a lot of you. And I still don't have it figured out. So similar to the way that we heard Pastor Matt talk last week about the tongue and how he never struggles with his tongue, I never struggle with money. So we all know that's not true. See, it's just what we do as leaders. We get up and we talk about our struggles and we fight through them together. It's almost like when we're in an elders meeting, we say, who's struggling with this? Okay, good, you're gonna preach on that next week. Because through this process of preparing to be in front of you guys, it has been very revealing of my own heart, as per typical. You ask anybody who preaches, like whatever they're preaching on, like that whole, the week and the month before that, like God does a work on their heart and reveals their own sin and their own way of thinking about things. We don't get up here and preach because we're professionals on that topic. It's because we're just men that struggle alongside of you, and we try to point you guys to Jesus. And that's my goal this morning. So I want to get this morning to point you to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look to him for truth, to him for his guidance, and that's also why we pray a lot as elders and pastors. We pray for you and we pray for ourselves. And that's what I'm going to do right now before I get any further in. Mighty God, we are grateful that you have called us your people. God, I pray for my words this morning that they will be your words and not mine. Father, as we talk about a sensitive subject, a subject that cuts deep to our hearts, I pray you would give us all ears to listen, Lord, to understand where our riches come from, and God, where our true riches really are. God, we thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I did a quick Google search last week on the word money. And in about a half a second, which is how long it takes to do a search, I guess, nowadays, I got 10.25 billion results with the word money in them. Here are the top five that I saw. Money is motivating 92% of Americans to work past retirement. Russia may run out of money in 2024. Trump hush money probe enters final stages. Money mistakes even rich people make. That was clickbait. Outside money floods Denver's mayoral race. I knew I was going to struggle with that word. Should have picked another one. Money, it's everywhere. There's no escaping it. See, we all have at least a little bit of it. So hopefully some of it in your pockets, in your bank account. A lot of the men here know my rant on a regular basis about carrying cash on you. We've all got some. And as much as we want to not think about it, how much we have or how much we don't have, we are constantly bombarded with being told what to do with it, with reminders of how much we have and how much we don't have, how much our friends have, how much our neighbors have. See, we are reminded constantly that money is what makes the world go round in our culture. See, we look up and they say, here, look at this thing, you need it. You should buy it. So spend your money. You look up and you see these people are having a good time and they're playing cards and throwing dice. You should gamble it. Come win some. Win more money. Are you retiring soon? Do you have a big fat nest egg? Probably not. Come to me. I'll help you invest it. You'll be safe. And even, have you been hit by a moron texting and driving or a big rig? Call me, I'll help you take it from those guys. See, commercials, billboards, movies, songs. I bet everybody in here can name me five songs off the top of the bat with the word money in the title. With lyrics saying, get money, take money, make money, my money. One of my personal favorites, power in the money, money in the power, minute after minute, hour after hour. See, it doesn't stop. Those lyrics ring very true. The late 20th century philosopher Christopher George Latour Wallace said, I don't know what they want from me. It's like the more money we come across, the more problems we see. In his song entitled, Mo Money, Mo Problems. You may be more familiar with his stage name of Notorious B.I.G. or Biggie Smalls. See, while we can be so easily distracted, it is important as aliens in a foreign land. Don't forget that, Christian. We are aliens in a foreign land. As citizens of a much greater kingdom, that we keep our eyes focused on our mission at hand, on what we are here to do, and not be lured away or enticed by the shiny things of this world. See, Solomon had some of the same sentiments centuries before Biggie ever brought him up. And we're going to look at some of his wisdom this morning alongside that of Jesus on how it is that we view our money or our treasure. Mo money, mo problems. See, Pastor Matt talked last week about the tongue and how our words constantly reveal our hearts. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As I sat there and listened to his sermon last week, I couldn't help but hear the sermon that I was preparing as well, and the link and how similar our tongue is with our money. See, Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then as we go to Proverbs 15:6-7 addresses them both together. It says, in the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of fools. Money and the tongue, they're tied together. And both of them go back to our heart. And both are very revealing on where our heart is. So just like words, money can uplift, it can do really good, and it can drag down, and it can corrupt. Money, words, same thing. They can both do it very quickly, I might add. So what we do with each begins in our heart. So we've seen in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, Solomon speaking to his son. And I thought similarly, as if I were talking to my kids about money, what would I say? Or what have I been saying with my actions in front of them? The way that I teach them about money, and the way that I spend my money, the way that I talk about money in front of them. So I have 3 kids, 8-year-old, 5-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And my 8-year-old, Winnie Jane, has made out like a bandit with the tooth fairy. See, clearly inflation has hit tooth fairy land as well, because the days of a couple quarters underneath a pillow are long gone. So we want to teach our kids how to be wise with their tooth fairy money. What they get from their grandparents at birthdays and Christmas. See, I've thought through this last few weeks preparing, what should our response be to our kids and their money? Similar to Solomon, it's beware. Watch out. Because while they are still learning the actual value of a dollar and what it means, their little flesh is teaching them what it means to have something that is theirs and theirs alone. We teach our kids quickly to be careful with the words that they say and to be kind. But how quickly do we say, hey, that money's not ours. We're just stewards. We're just holding on to it for a little while. How easily do we hand over our money to our kids with no training? And if you look at how dangerous it can be throughout history, the cause of so many disastrous things comes down to money and the love of it. Lying, people going to prison for stealing, murders, suicides, wars between countries, all over money and resources. And we just hand it over to our kids. Like, here, go get a Coke and bring me back my change. Right? Isn't that kind of ironic? not mine. You ain't, don't take it home. That's just not, it's there to give. All right, rabbit trail on kids is over. Back to you grown-ups. The ones who have already learned the good and the bad habits and felt the struggles that come along with managing a home or a business. This message today is for the wealthy and the not wealthy alike. See, you're both here. One of the beautiful things about our fellowship family is we're diverse. And we can live with that tension because our wealth or our worth is not found in our worth or our bank accounts, but it's found in Jesus. Amen. So as always, I want you to walk away from here with challenged and encouraged, knowing these four things. I want you to know where your money comes from. I want you to know where it's going. Know that we will never have as much as some or as little as others. And know that it will never bring you joy or satisfy you like Jesus does. Amen. So number one, where does it come from? How do you get it? Sunday school answer, Jesus. We start there. We know that all our needs are met through Christ. He sustains us. He gives us our daily bread. Solomon has plenty to say about diligence. Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, and the hand of the diligent makes rich. 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Then we go to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about how the lilies are clothed and then potentially just thrown into the fire. Then he says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, but seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. This is also where Jesus says, don't be anxious. Now we could do a whole sermon just titled Money and Anxiety. That's a tough saying, especially when it comes to this subject, when it comes to money. Don't be anxious about money, really? I mean, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but I ain't got much of it. I don't know where my groceries are coming from next week. I don't know how the rent's going to get paid. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for it will be anxious for itself. It's Jesus' words, not mine. See, we trust in the giver. There are numerous stories in this church, numerous, of miraculous money showing up at the right times when people needed it. Because people trusted and they prayed. Groceries showing up when they needed to be done. Tuition being paid over and over again. We've seen that some of you have been the recipients of that. Praise God. We can work and save and invest all we want, but do not be fooled, Christian, into thinking that you are entirely responsible for what you currently have. Because you can have it today, and tomorrow it can be ripped from you. We see that in the story of Job. Many of us do not wonder how we will pay for groceries next week. But we must have a spirit of gratefulness mixed with a spirit of generosity to go along with it. Ready to meet that need for somebody whenever it arises. See, when you know where it comes from, when you understand that it comes from the giver, it's a lot easier to part ways with it because you know that it comes from a storehouse that will never be empty. it will never run low. So we can give, we can be generous with the things that we have, because there's plenty more where that came from. When you think of it that way, as opposed to, I pulled up my bootstraps and I earned every dollar I got and I got to hold on to them because I may not get another one. See the difference in that mindset? Number two, know where it's going. Being intentional with it. Solomon mentions several times diligence, so paying attention. In Proverbs 27, 23, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds, for riches do not last forever. Does everybody know where their flocks are? Everybody check on their herds this morning? No? But I guarantee there's folks in here that check their bank app this morning. For good or for bad. We get notifications. They just come and they go. Tell you how much money you got. Waiting on you when you wake up in the morning. How much money you don't have. Be diligent. I know I said I wasn't going to be giving advice up here. How to handle money, but I will float this one out there. Having a budget. That's not even one of those things that's like political on one side or the other. Like everybody can agree that a budget and knowing where your money is coming from and where it's going is wise. Telling your money where to go. Because if you don't tell your money where to go, it will find somewhere to go, and it's not into a savings account. Knowing where you stand financially allows you to see God's provision for you and your family right there on paper. So it's not just a tool to figure out how to do this and how we're going to save up for vacation. It allows you to see God's provision regularly. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody. You go a couple months without updating the budget, and next thing you know, it's been 6 or 8 months, and you just kind of floated out there. It takes discipline, but discipline allows for freedom. And there's a Don Whitney quote in there with that, I'm sure. So this is where I'll stop and give a couple plugs. We saw on the announcements a little earlier, we'll be starting a financial peace seminar coming up. The Krauses are heading that up, along, I think, with the Starks. That's a fantastic way to get some ideas around how to handle your money. So if you haven't gone through that, join up. If you're struggling and I can't figure out how to do a budget and my way is this way and it just doesn't make sense. I'm an exception to the rule. Probably not. Sign up. See Todd. Ask questions. And this is where I am going to bring up giving. Having a budget allows you to give, allows you to be a good steward of what God has given you. This is also a spot that I'm going to bring up knowing what you are supporting with your dollars. There are corporations and entities out in this world that are actively standing against the things that we as followers of Jesus stand for. They're teaching our children lies about who God has made them, and they will fight for the right to kill the babies in the womb. And every day, we give them money to be entertained, to be fed, or for some service. Now, I'm well aware that's a fine line. And I don't have it figured out. There's lines that as a family, we have decided to draw that I'm not going to put on anybody else. I mean, shoot, I'm toting around a phone in my back pocket that was made in China that, you know, the things that China stands for. I mean, where do we draw the line? I don't know. But what I'm saying, church, is think about it. What are the things that we can cut out? What are the things that we can support? What are the companies that we can support with our hard-earned dollars, with the dollars that Jesus has given us that do good work? Be intentional with it. Number three, know that we will never have as much as some or as little as others. When we can come to grips with the fact that having much more than others and still treating them as a carrier of the image of God, and then turn around and treat a person who has exponentially more than we do with that same dignity. Because Christian, we are guilty. I am guilty of partiality on both ends. We can treat a very wealthy person in one way and turn around and treat a person in poverty another. And typically the way we look at that is we hold this person up on a pedestal and this one more down. But in the church, we can easily put the person in poverty on a pedestal and talk down to this person who's wealthy. Both image bearers. We have to exist with a tension, inside that tension of loving both, sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel to both. Proverbs 22:2 says, "The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all." Solomon mentions over and over again the difference in the wealthy and the poor, but nowhere does he say, "Let's split it down the middle and make it all equal." He says, "Work hard, be diligent, slow, steady, be generous." But more than all that, he says, "Righteousness saves, righteousness delivers," over and over again. Righteousness. Wickedness will cause poverty for themselves and for others. And we will see that until the day that Christ returns. In the meantime, we can love one another, share what we have. Be happy for others when you see their wealth and how God has blessed them. Pray for them in their heart that it won't find its meaning in those things. And in the same way, acknowledge those that don't have. And pray for them because their heart is just as prone to latch on to shiny things and to find their worth in the things that they do have. My last no is know that your money or your riches will never bring you joy and it will never satisfy like Jesus does. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we had food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." All kinds of evil. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, which is the extended cut of Proverbs, in 5:10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." Now, don't get me wrong, money can buy happiness. Do you remember those little rides outside the grocery store that you put a quarter in? It's like a racehorse or something like that, and it just went up and down. Your mama dropped a quarter in, and it started. So you haven't seen happy until you've seen 5-year-old little Lee Neesmith riding a flying hippopotamus out in front of the Piggly Wiggly. Money can buy happiness. But the test is when you lay your head on your pillow at night. And there's no flashing lights or no up and down rides. Where is your joy? Where is your satisfaction? I'm reminded of the rich young ruler in Mark 10. Jesus tells him to sell everything, give it away. And in verse 22, he says, "He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He went away sorrowful. He chose sorrow that day. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Our money, this green ink on cotton fibers that the government of the United States of America has deemed worth whatever number is printed on the front, will have no value in the day of wrath. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. What delivers from death? Righteousness. Not our money, not our things. So why do we give it so much of our energy now? See, Solomon mentioned over and over and over again the importance of righteousness over riches. And our righteousness, we all know what it is. It is filthy rags, useless. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness that saves in the day of wrath. So if this is all new to you and you haven't said, I want to follow Jesus, today is the day. If you are weighted down with burdens and money is just one of them, Jesus says, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I would be glad to talk to you about lightening your burden, as would any of our other elders or any of our members for that matter. I will be up here at the front as with a couple of the elders to talk, to pray after this is over with. If your burden is heavy, for the believer or the non-believer, cast it on Jesus. Money is a heavy topic. It's hard. But we are all literally in it together. This is not something that nobody struggles with. If you've got a bunch of it, if you ain't got much of it, it will try to rule you if you don't keep it in its spot. My prayer is that we look to Jesus, where it comes from. Let's pray. Father, you are the giver of all things. You give us good gifts. We are grateful. Help us, Lord, to hold our money and our things and our riches loosely, knowing that we are stewards. You've allowed us to hold on to it for a minute. Pray, God, that it would have no power over us, that we would be ruled by our love for Christ and not our love for money, our love for things, our love for power. You are better. Jesus, you are better. And it is only by your righteousness that we will stand in the day of wrath. We love you, Lord. Thanks for loving us and calling us your children. Amen.